John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We are, as a congregation, drawing very close to the end of the Belgic Confession. We're in Article 35 dealing with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So we're going to be looking at just one specific aspect of the Lord's Supper, in that Jesus is our living bread. What does it mean that Jesus is the living bread? How do we partake of Christ? And what are the benefits that Christ promises to those who partake of him? So we're going to be looking at John chapter 6. We'll also be looking at Belgic Confession, Article 35, in just a moment. John chapter 6, we'll start reading at verse 22. John 6 is found on page 1059. John chapter 6 at verse 22, just as a reminder, this is right on the context of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the bread, with the loaves and the fish. Jesus walks across the Sea of Galilee on the water and then is found on the other side as we begin here. John 6 at verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's as far as reading from John 6. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at this text together. But before we begin our sermon, we're going to be reading from Belgic Confession, Article 35. If you'd like to follow along, this is page 868 in the back of our songbooks, Belgic Confession, Article 35. We looked at baptism. Now we're looking at the Lord's Supper. So Belgic Confession, Article 35, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ has ordained and instituted the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and sustain those who are already born again and engrafted into his family, his church. Now those who are born again have two lives in them. The one is physical and temporal. They have it from the moment of their first birth and is common to all. The other is spiritual and heavenly and is given them in their second birth. It comes through the word of the gospel and the communion of the body of Christ and this life is common to God's elect only. Thus, to support the physical and earthly life, God has prescribed for us an appropriate earthly and material bread, which is as common to all as life itself also is. But to maintain the spiritual and the heavenly life that belongs to believers, he has sent a living bread that came down from heaven, namely Jesus Christ, who nourishes and maintains the spiritual life of believers when eaten, that is, when appropriated and received spiritually by faith. To represent to us this spiritual and heavenly bread, Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as the sacrament of his body and wine as the sacrament of his blood. He did this to testify to us that just as truly as we take and hold the sacrament in our hands and eat and drink it in our mouths, by which our life is then sustained, so truly we receive into our souls for our spiritual life the true body and true blood of Christ, our only Savior. We receive these by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our souls. And that's as far as we're reading here in the Belgic Confession, Article 35. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how often do you think about food? Let's imagine tomorrow around 3:30 you're in your home and your children come home from school. What is the first thing that you are likely to hear? Mom, can I have a snack? I'm hungry. Approximately an hour later, you'll hear something like this. Mom, what time is dinner? Mom, what are we having for dinner? There is a theme that is often heard in our homes, and that is the theme of a need for food. Food always seems to be part of our present day, a part of our temporary lives here on earth, and that's directly linked to the temporary nature of earthly food. Even as you will remember in Thanksgiving, you could, after you finish your Thanksgiving meal, you're like, I can't eat. I'll never eat again. I'm so full. A couple hours pass by, and you start to smell the pies or whatever is for dessert, and that little seed of hunger grows within you once again. But what if you could eat something called living bread? What if you could eat something that is called the bread of life? What if you could find a bread which is promised to endure within you so that once you eat of it, once you partake of it, you need nothing more and it never leaves you? You never hunger, you never thirst beyond that which is provided with this living bread. Where can we find the food that endures to eternal life? Well, today we are going to see that our Heavenly Father knows that we are hungry. He knows that we have needs, and he sends his son to feed his children. Now, the fact is that everyone has an opinion about Jesus Christ today. Everyone thinks that they understand, that they know who Jesus is or why Jesus came. Some will say Jesus was a good teacher. He was misunderstood, but he was a good teacher. Others will say Jesus was a madman and a liar. But today we are going to see that Jesus Christ presents himself as the only source of eternal life. So we look at this theme. Jesus Christ supplies his people with living bread which sustains us unto eternal life. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ supplies his people with living bread which sustains us unto eternal life. So I ask you, what do you seek? What kind of Savior are you looking for? One who will give you your best life now, or one that will raise you up unto eternal life? In our first point, then, we look at the rejection of this bread of life found in our passage. As I said before, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open here to John chapter 6. And upon Jesus presenting himself as the bread of life, we find an immediate pushback, a rejection of this specific work of Jesus Christ. Picture for a moment, children, that you have someone who is lost in Death Valley, someone who's lost in the desert. They're wandering for days. They have no water. And suddenly they come to an abandoned campsite, and they find it filled with bottled water. Yet they pick up the bottled water and they read the side and it says that this is purified water. It's not Fiji brand water. And they turn away in disgust. This is not the kind of water that I prefer. This is not the kind of water that I want. I would rather die of thirst than drink the water that is here provided. In a similar way, there are many people in our world today and in our passage specifically that turn away from the fountain, from the source of eternal life that could save them because it wasn't the kind of Savior they were looking for. How foolish it would be to turn down water that would save your life. Well, today we find a very foolish rejection in our passage. The bread of life here in our passage is being freely offered. It's freely given without cost. It's free to be received. Yet the crowds reject. This rejection is running through our passage. In verse 26, we find that the people come to Jesus and they follow after Jesus. And Jesus said to them, what are you looking for? It's verse 26. What are you seeking? Why have you followed me? Why have you come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee? Why have you followed me all these miles? A new day has dawned. After the feeding of the thousands the previous day, their bellies are grumbling. They're hungry once more. And Jesus said to them very quickly, why have you searched for me? Why have you followed me here? It's because you are looking for the wrong kind of bread. You are looking for your fill of the loaves. They were content to search for physical food, temporary, passing food, while completely ignoring their more pressing and permanent need. How many people in our world today don't spend their lives searching for physical bread? How many people don't use religion as a cloak for their earthly desires? Spending their days gathering and gaining earthly things while they ignore the things that last. Searching for food that perishes, and Jesus rebukes them. Do not seek, do not store treasures where moth or rust or thief can take away. Do not simply spend your lives pursuing food for the belly at the expense of true food. You see, brothers and sisters, the crowd was viewing Jesus as a vending machine distributing free food. They wanted their day's quota of earthly bread. They wanted to fill their mouth with the delicacies of this world. Their work, their interest was focused on the things that were present and passing at the neglect of things that were permanent and even more pressing. They wanted to be rich towards themselves at the expense of being poor towards God, feeding the physical flesh while neglecting their souls. So Jesus said to them, verse 27, do not work for the food that perishes. Do not work for the food that perishes. This is such a common temptation in our world. Many people will be interested in Jesus if Jesus promises to give them what they want to meet their present need. If Jesus will give me my best life now, then I'll sign on the dotted line. But if Jesus doesn't minister to me in the way that I want, if I become a Christian and my life becomes harder, I want nothing to do with it. But instead of focusing on the loaves and the fish that the crowd were here pursuing, Jesus uses an Old Testament illustration, shifting the focus of not only the crowds, but for us as well. As Jesus points to an Old Testament example, pointing to an earthly miracle, which in that very miracle shows the need for a pressing need that the Israelites and this crowd did not see. So in verse 31, Jesus brings to mind the miracle in the wilderness where there was heavenly manna. Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So in verse 31, Jesus brings to mind the manna that the Israelites had received in their wandering years. And this manna, loaves of bread that the Lord had provided for his people in our present context pointed to a similar need. The similar need was not just that their physical bodies needed to be fed, but there was something else at work here. The manna in the wilderness was a miraculous manna, just as the feeding of the thousands here the day before was a miraculous sign graciously given to the Israelites. But where did that bread come from? And who provided that bread to them? They did not work for this bread. It was graciously given to them. And being bread from heaven, as verse 32 says, the manna was a sign of something deeper, a picture of someone who was coming. But the Israelites failed to see the spiritual truth in the Old Testament, and that's why I read earlier from 1 Corinthians, because the Israelites in the wilderness were content with finding earthly manna, earthly food, and yet they rejected the giver of that food. They rejected the fulfillment of the sign. So it is in our passage, the Israelites were content to receive the earthly bread, the earthly loaves and earthly fish, but they rejected the giver of that food and the fulfillment of the sign. So Jesus says in verse 49, the Israelites who ate that manna died in the wilderness. We read this in 1 Corinthians 10. The Lord was not pleased with them, so their bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Why was the Lord not pleased with them? The Lord was not pleased with them in the Old Testament with the Israelites. God was not happy. He was not pleased with the Israelites because they wanted simply the earthly things. And they could not see their true need. Just as in our passage, the crowds are following Jesus because they have pressing physical needs and they rejected the giver. So Jesus is using this Old Testament example of manna to prove a point. You can eat the manna in the wilderness and you can be fed by Jesus on the shores of Galilee, but still die in your sins. You can miss out on the true blessing. Because the Israelites of old and the Jews in our present context fail to grasp the spiritual truth that is in their midst. As you might remember, what was the grave sin of the Israelites in the wilderness? They grumbled and they complained. What do we find in verse 41? They're grumbling and complaining. You see, the hearts of their forefathers in the wilderness is the same heart that lives in the midst of these Jews today in our passage. Just like their forefathers in the wilderness, they'd want their bodies to be nourished while rejecting and forsaking the spiritual truth of the matter that the sign was pointing to. And if you still have your Bibles open, scan down to verse 66, where you find this rejection made complete. Verse 66, after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus, if you're not going to give me what I want, if you're not going to meet my every physical desire in this life, I want nothing to do with you. The Israelites in the wilderness, in their hearts, wanted Egypt. Remember what they complained? I wish we were still in Egypt because we had vegetables and we had all the meat that we wanted. We would rather live in the land of slavery with full bellies than to be in the wilderness with you. So it is in our passage, the Israelites, the Jews, did not want what Jesus was providing. The benefit that they missed out from the heavenly bread, the benefit that they missed out would cost them their souls. The heavenly bread needs to be embraced, needs to be received. So we move to our second point. Having considered the rejection of this living bread, how does Jesus say you can receive the living bread? Jesus clearly identifies himself as the bread from heaven. Jesus points to the miracle in the wilderness. He said the heavenly manna was a heavenly bread, and it was a sign pointing to the necessity of someone to meet not just their physical needs, but their spiritual needs. And then Jesus talks about the benefit of this living bread. It when you take it within you, it grants life, eternal life. So the people say in verse 34, give us this bread. And they still didn't understand the significance of what Jesus was saying. They interpreted Jesus by saying, Jesus, if you give us this kind of bread, we'll never have to eat again. I mean, that sounds pretty wonderful. If I could have one meal today and my body would be fed for the rest of my life, give us this kind of bread. Perform in our midst a sort of miracle that we can eat this physical food and never have to eat again, never have to work for bread again. That sounds pretty spectacular. How much time, how much energy wouldn't that free us from? But then Jesus shocks them. Verse 34, answering the question, I am this bread of life. The bread that you held in your hand yesterday and that earthly manna that fell from heaven that the Israelites had in the Old Testament, that was a sign pointing to me, pointing to my work. I am the bread of life. If you want to be fed and nourished unto eternal life, then what you need is you need me. Where does this bread come from? Jesus said it's heavenly bread. It's from heaven, verse 32. It is true bread. The earthly bread that you had yesterday, that was a sign. That was a shadow. I'm the reality. It is a gift given to you graciously, sovereignly, poured out upon you. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You can simply receive it. And as you are to receive it, it must be partaken of. You must consume it. You must partake of it. Jesus makes the point in verse 50. You need to eat of this bread. Verse 54, eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Now this is very offensive to the Jews. Jesus said, I am the bread of life and you need to eat me. You need to eat of my body and drink of my blood. That's offensive. It's off-putting. And then that's why the majority of people in verse 66 turn back and no longer follow him. What do you mean, Jesus? Are you advocating cannibalism? Are you telling me I need to take off a chunk of your flesh and eat it? Well, Jesus doesn't leave them. He doesn't leave us in the dark. What is he talking about here? How do you partake of Jesus? How do you eat his body and drink his blood? Well, Jesus says in verse 29, very clearly saying, verse 29, you are to believe in him who was sent. Repeated in verse 35, whoever comes to me and believes in me. One more time, verse 40, look on the Son and believe in him. So Jesus doesn't leave them, and he doesn't leave us in the dark. The way that you partake of Jesus Christ is by believing in him, is by looking to him, receiving him, embracing him, holding on to him. We receive the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ by partaking of him, looking to him, receiving in him, trusting in him and him alone. And that's why our Belgic Confession article brings a direct connection between Jesus as the living bread and our celebration of the Lord's Supper. With the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we are confessing that we need to eat of the body of Jesus Christ and drink of his blood. The bread and the wine that here will sit before you when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that bread and that wine are signs and seals. Just like the manna in the Old Testament and just like the loaves and the fish that were in our present context. As a sign, they are not to be worshipped. They're not to take the place of Jesus Christ, but they point to him and they teach us concerning his work. They represent his body and his blood. As God's people, we are to come to him. We are to acknowledge our need. We're to confess that we are spiritually starving, and the only way that we can have true life is by partaking of him. Coming to the Lord's Supper, you are confessing something about yourself. You are saying you are hungry, you are thirsty, you are dying, you are parched. You are like that man who's been walking through the desert wilderness. You need to be fed. You need to be nourished. And you come here with a heart of faith and you say, Jesus Christ, you alone can meet my needs. It is your body that needs to be broken, your blood that needs to be shed to become the nourishment that wells up within us, granting us eternal life. Verse 51 clarifies, his flesh which was broken for us. So we come to the Lord's table acknowledging our need and trusting in the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the Lord's Supper becomes to us a visible sacrament. It's a picture of this truth. Jesus Christ is that heavenly bread, that manna from heaven that is received from God, graciously placed in our hands. We take it and we partake of it. We eat it. And in eating with a heart of faith, we are nourished. So the point of the Lord's Supper is to remind us that we need to look to Jesus Christ and to trust in him alone. As our Belgic Confession Article 35 puts it, we receive it by faith, which is the hand and mouth of faith. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ embraced with a heart that trusts and looks to him alone. Well, now that we've looked at how we are to receive Jesus Christ with a heart of faith, believing in his promises, in our final point, we look at what are the benefits that Jesus promises to those who receive. What does the bread of life do for those who receive it rightly? What is the reward that is promised to those who embrace Jesus Christ and partake of his body and blood? Well, Jesus, in drawing a parallel between the work of earthly food and his work, proves that bread sustains, bread nourishes, bread gives life. If you pass a few days in your earthly body without eating or drinking, you waste away. The Israelites were repeatedly taught this, and that's why the daily bread aspect of the manna, every day except for the Sabbath, every day they had to go out and gather the food for that day. Why couldn't they gather their whole week's worth on the first day of the week, and then just eat of that through the rest of it? What happened, children? Do you remember when they gathered too much and brought it home? It bred maggots and worms, and it stank. Every day, the Israelites had to be reminded, go out and receive from me, because you depend on me, and you must look to me. So in our passage, Jesus is repeatedly reminding the Israelites that the only way that you will be provided for is by partaking of Jesus Christ with a heart of faith. As Jesus says in verse 27, he is the food that endures to eternal life. Once you partake of Christ, you have in him all that you need. And he continues to feed and to nourish you, so that no other bread, no other spiritual sustenance beyond Jesus Christ will be needed. Belgian Confession, Article 35, he is our sacrament given to nourish and sustain us. In other words, brothers and sisters, you never outgrow your need for Jesus Christ, but once you have Christ, you have in him all you need. No other Savior, no other sacrifice, no other prophet, priest, or king will do. He gives his life to be our bread, and those who partake of him will never hunger and never thirst again, verse 35 puts it. Never hunger, never thirsting again. Jesus richly, fully, completely satisfies all our needs. So the first thing that Jesus promises to do is that he will sustain us. He'll sustain our souls, but also our bodies one day. Verse 40. Those who are united to Christ by faith will be raised up on the last day. Not only is there a present spiritual blessing that God's people receive when we partake with hearts of faith, there is a future physical blessing that Jesus also promises to those who partake by faith. But I will not allow you to go down into the grave. I will raise you up on the last day so that you, body and soul, and dwell for eternity in my presence. And those who come to me will never be cast out. Verse 37. You come to Christ with a heart of faith, he will never say, I want nothing to do with you. I have no place for you. There is the promise of eternal acceptance and welcome into glory that will never expire. When you put all these promises together, you see that what Jesus is promising to those who partake of him with a heart of faith, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we trust him, when we eat of his body and drink of his blood, we have what we need for eternal life. That eternal life begins now, today. Your souls are resurrected to new life. Jesus becomes your food and drink for your soul, for your spirit, nourishing, sustaining, strengthening, reviving. And one day when Christ comes back, he will raise your body as well, so that your body might enjoy what your spirit now enjoys, eternal life, physically, spiritually, in the presence of God for all eternity. That is what Jesus promises to those who partake of him by faith. Now do you see the futility, the foolishness of the Israelites and the Jews, who came to Jesus just hoping for another meal? They were content with a meal that would last them a few hours when Jesus was promising them eternity. May we never make that same mistake. May we never look to the things of this world. May we always seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. May we never content ourselves to work for the riches or for the food or to gather the pleasures and pleasantries of this world, looking to that which is temporary and passing at the expense of the eternal and the permanent. When we come to Christ by faith, he changes our focus. He reorients us to the truth so that we don't commit the sin of the Israelites in the wilderness, who chose in their hearts slavery and bondage in Egypt if that meant that they had enough food to satisfy their hungry bellies. Or the Israelites, the Jews in our passage, which were looking to Jesus to give them a meal, when Jesus says, what you really need is me. For I am the living bread. Those who come to Christ find in him life for their souls and for their bodies, present and everlasting life. As Jesus himself said, man does not live on bread alone, but we live by the word that comes from the mouth of God. To conclude, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 proves that Jesus is able to feed the hungry masses. But when the crowds missed this truth, they missed this truth that daily bread is temporary and passing. What we need is eternal bread, heavenly bread. We need bread that feeds not just our bodies, but our souls as well. Living bread, heavenly bread. We need bread from heaven that gives us eternal life and meets our every need. This is the very thing that Jesus came, that he has secured, that he promises for us. He supplies his people, as our theme says. He supplies his people with living bread that sustains them unto eternal life. We need to eat. We think of food often. But as necessary as daily bread is, the need for Jesus is even more pressing. So trust in Jesus, this heavenly bread. By believing in him, by receiving him, by embracing him with a heart of faith. For apart from him, we can do nothing. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the fullness of life that is found in him. Life not only for our souls, but one day for our bodies as well. We thank you that he came to be our sustenance. And even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we see the bread and see the wine and we eat the bread and drink the wine, may we be reminded of Christ. May our trust, our confidence, our dependence on him grow all the more as we believe his promises that he is the living bread, that whoever comes to him will never die, and even though we die, we shall live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.